Mark chapter 10, we are going to begin by reading verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. We're going to conclude with our study in Mark this morning for a couple of months. And then when we get closer to Easter, I'm going to pick back up. but we have the next chapter is Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then we move on to the upper room and to Easter. So anyway, we'll probably take probably a month off maybe from Mark after this. And then we'll pick back up sometime in February. So we kind of coincide a little bit with Easter time. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, that is, Jesus and his disciples. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, a son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What would thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, thank you for your word today. Please guide me and as preach the word, and please, Lord, direct our thoughts towards you. Lord, help someone that's in here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Lord, if there be one, to see their need of a Savior who can give them spiritual sight, who can give them life, forgiveness from sins, eternal life. Lord. Pray, Lord, for others who may be struggling with other things today. Lord, help us to understand and to know that those answers to those things that we cannot fix ourselves are only found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, may we come to you as this blind man did. In faith in the power and in the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that Jesus indeed would be exalted. We might be drawn closer to you today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10. We first of all see the setting of our story. Jesus is walking through the city of Jericho. This is only, it's about a couple days' journey from Jerusalem. Jericho is to the east of Jerusalem, out into the desert. And he's passing through the city of Jericho. And as he does, his disciples are with him. There's a throng of people that are following him that there was often as he went through the cities, seeking to hear his wisdom, to feel his healing touch. These multitudes were usually driven mostly by curiosity more than anything else. And unfortunately, like the seed that fell upon stony ground or the seed that fell among thorns, they were often casual observers. And once Jesus had left the city, their interest began to wane. But there was one man who had a keen interest that day. He wasn't the only one. In Matthew, we're told that there were actually two blind men. Mark only tells us about the one, probably the most vocal of the two, that spoke up the loudest here, a man named Bartimaeus. Unlike Bartimaeus, others around Jesus that day could see with their physical eyes. But sadly for many Israelites, they had physical sight, but they were spiritually blind and couldn't recognize their need and be healed as Bartimaeus is about to experience. In Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15, it says this, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Jesus' disciples asked him, "Why do you teach in parables?" in Matthew 13, and this was his answer. The people aren't interested in spiritual things, sadly. People generally are only interested in the things they can see with their physical eyes, their spiritual eyes being darkened by Satan and sin. And so is the case today as it was then in Israel. Bartimaeus knew he was blind. Many of the people in that city didn't realize they were more blind than he was. They had a greater or just as great a need as he did, but they couldn't see it. And so as we see the story here of the healing of a blind man, it also reminds us of the spiritual darkness that still surrounds us today in the world in which we live and surrounded Jesus in the day in which he came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To those that come to him and receive him, as we'll see Bartimaeus does here, God gives sight. Most importantly, spiritual sight. So we see our setting in the city of Jericho, and this blind beggar, he cries out as Jesus passes by. We'll see the setting, and then we see the cry of Bartimaeus. We can learn a lot from what Bartimaeus has to say here from his calling out, from his cry to Jesus. First of all, it was addressed specifically to Jesus. He was not crying out to other people around. Wasn't crying out to the rabbis. Wasn't crying out to the Pharisees. Wasn't crying out to the physicians. He was crying out to Jesus. There are many others that were there that day, but the blind man, to the blind man that day, there was only one person that mattered. And that one person is Jesus Christ. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out for him, the only one who could heal him, the only one who could make him whole. Many of the people in Jesus' day went to doctors and physicians, and when they had ailments and problems and illnesses, some of them they could be healed from, others they could not. This blind man had come to grips that there was no one who could help him until he heard that Jesus was nearby. And there was what? And there was hope. There was hope because Jesus could make him whole. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We have a problem. We're separated from God by sin. The sinful world is separated from him in spiritual darkness and blindness. There's only one way to see him. There's only one way to know him. There is only one hope for humanity. And that is the person Jesus Christ. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The word saved means delivered or rescued. Just as Bartimaeus needed to be rescued from his blindness, we need to be rescued from sin and hell. And there's only one person who can do that. That person was standing on the road that day within Bartimaeus' earshot. And so he cried out. There is so much going on in our lives, in the lives of people today. Many distractions, many voices, advising them, vying for their attention, giving orders, wanting to be heard, even discouraging and mocking them when they call out to Jesus. There was a lot going on in that crowd that day, but Bartimaeus had blinders on, so to speak. Well, he was blind, but he was focused only on one person. And he didn't hear, wasn't distracted by the things like we are so often distracted today. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't concerned or repelled by the naysayers, but kept right on calling out to Jesus. One of the other Gospels, it says that he called him Lord or Master, demonstrating a high regard for Jesus' authority and teaching. But more importantly, as we see here in our text, he called him the son of who? Heard it. David. He called him the son of David. Well, was David Jesus' father? Yes and no. To most people, Jesus' father was who? Joseph. But we know that Joseph actually wasn't Jesus' biological father. Jesus' father is God the Father. So Joseph isn't even really his father, but he did act as his father on earth. What does this son of David mean? Well, it's a very important title, and it makes a very important point concerning Jesus Christ that we just don't want to pass by and not notice this morning. Look, if you would, up on the screen at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. Here, God is speaking to David via a prophet, and he says to David, "When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee," thy descendant, child, offspring. "I will set up thy offspring, seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, if this sounds familiar to some of you, I read this verse last Sunday morning, when we were talking about the rest of the story of Jesus. Jesus, yes, came as a babe in a manger, and he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. But that's only the first part of the story. We're still looking ahead for the sequel, when Jesus Christ returns and establishes the throne of his father, of his ancestor David, from which he will rule the nations for 1,000 years, and then a new heaven and new earth for all eternity. Jesus Christ is the son of David. He is the offspring of David, and he is the Messiah of Israel. And when blind Bartimaeus called him the son of David, he is referencing his faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one of Israel. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God gave many promises to Israel in the Old Testament that he would send the Messiah, that he would send the appointed, the anointed one, who would set everything straight, who would redeem his people from their sins. And that person is Jesus Christ. And when blind Bartimaeus here cries out to him and calls him the son of David, he is demonstrating and expressing his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. The Messiah who, among other things, would give sight to the blind. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. We read Isaiah 28 from the bulletin here a few moments ago. This is Isaiah 35, another passage. There it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as at heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." When the King comes, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. Somebody had taught Bartimaeus this when he was younger. He had heard the promises that God had made, and that when the Messiah would come, when the King would come, he would give the blind sight. And so he knew there was hope. And he cried out to God. And he cried out to Jesus. He cried out for mercy. He didn't cry out to Jesus, "Come over here and give me my sight." No, he cried out, "Son of David, have what? Have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, I fall upon, cling to, plead for your mercy." For he did not believe he was in a position to demand or even to request for Jesus to heal him. There was nothing that he had done. There is nothing that he could do. There was absolutely nothing he had to offer Jesus in exchange for his sight. He was a beggar. He had no money. He couldn't offer him money to give him his sight. He was a poor blind beggar. There was not little in the way of service that he could offer. There was nothing he could claim as position in society that made him worthy of. But furthermore, he was a sinner and undeserving of God's love and attention. He didn't deserve for Jesus to stop and take notice of him. We, as lost sinners, we don't deserve the attention that God gives to us. That's why the love of God is so amazing. His gift, so, as Paul puts it, unspeakable, incredible. In that rebels, us, who in Adam, in sin, trampled upon his love, should be the benefits of his love through his Son, Jesus Christ. I quoted that verse a few minutes ago, Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were what? Sinners, Christ died for us." Bartimaeus was a sinner. Bartimaeus was the lowest of the low in Jewish society as well. There was no reason for Jesus to stop to help him. But when he heard Bartimaeus cry out for what? Mercy. It got his attention. You know, Jesus told a story about two men that came to the temple to worship. One was a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he lifted up his eyes to God and said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like some of these other people. And over in the corner, one of those other people, tax collector, publican, rubbish, traitor, was on his knees before his God, his head bowed in humility and shame. And he cried out to God for what? He cried out to God for mercy. And Jesus said, which one of these two you think went home justified in the sight of God? The answer is the one who cried out for mercy. You see, a cry for mercy, cry from a repentant, humbled sinner for mercy, always grabs the attention of Almighty God and of Jesus Christ. So Bartimaeus, he didn't offer money for services. He didn't say, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. He just cried out to God for mercy as someone humbled in his physical estate and in his spiritual estate. The Bible says our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. If you came to my house for Christmas and I handed you a package and you opened it up and it was full of filthy, nasty, oily, dirty rags, what would you do? You would look at me and go, huh? I don't want your dirty, filthy rags. But that's the way a lot of humanity comes to God. We come to God with our good works. We come to God with our righteousness. And we say, look, God, here. You certainly will appreciate this. And God would look at it and go, huh? I don't think so. That's why we have to be cleansed from sin through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross. And that's why we cry for mercy. It says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? His mercy, he saved us, just like he changed Bartimaeus' life here. His cry was ignored and even suppressed by the multitude around him. Multitude that did not show concern for him, but were more aggravated by his shouts. You know, just be quiet over there, you blind beggar. Be quiet. We're trying to hear Jesus. Be quiet. They were missing the point. They thought Jesus was there for them. You know something? Jesus was there for who? Jesus was there for him. Jesus knew Bartimaeus before Bartimaeus knew Jesus. Jesus, I believe, knew where Bartimaeus would be that day. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus' disciples thought he was there for water. No, he was there for her. Like he's there for you. There was a song I listened to a few years ago titled, When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind. You may have heard it. Jesus hung there for you. Jesus was there that day for Bartimaeus. Not for those who were just curious. Not for those who were distracted. He was there for one who knew he had a need and cried out to God for mercy. So as he cried, they tried to suppress him. They told him to be quiet. They didn't share the concern of Christ for him. They didn't necessarily share the same faith that Bartimaeus did or recognize their need as he recognized his. But his cry was heard by Christ above the noise of the crowd. Jesus died not for the world collectively, but for the individual sinners who inhabit it, who need a Savior. To whom he invites, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. You see, before before salvation, we're separated from God. We are at odds with God. The world out there that doesn't know Jesus, they're at odds with God. They're searching for peace. Do you think they're ever going to find it? No. True peace only comes when you are at peace with who? When you're at peace with your Maker. The only way to be at peace with your Maker is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And he heard the cries of Bartimaeus. And he responded. He responded to Bartimaeus. Look, if you would, back in Mark chapter 10. And it says in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose, and he came to Jesus. Did you notice, just ask a quick question. Blind Bartimaeus was blind, and therefore, when he cast off his cloak, which was probably important to him, to stay warm, he might have a difficult time finding it again. But he wasn't concerned, was he? Only thing that was important to him in that moment was getting to who? Was getting to Jesus. Was getting to Jesus. If you're here today and you need Jesus, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Because what would be sad today is if you were to leave this place without Jesus, just to hold on to whatever sin or pride or whatever you may possess that just is not all that valuable. Not all that valuable. The Bible said, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. Why? Because they think that dirty old cloak of money is greater value than what Jesus has to offer. Bartimaeus threw his cloak off and he ran to Jesus, and Jesus responded with a question. Jesus answered, said unto him, what would that I should do unto thee? Now, of course, Jesus knew what he wanted, and you didn't have to be the Son of God in this case to know it. People knew he was blind. It was obvious he was blind. However, Jesus, who is the Son of God, does know your need, our need, before we ask him, just as he knew of Bartimaeus's need. He knows of our needs, both physical and spiritual. There are needs you have today, and you know it, and I don't. And guess what? You're probably not going to tell me. That's okay. I don't need to know. I get requests from people from the congregation, other people I know all the time, to befriend me on Facebook. I don't befriend a lot of people that I know on Facebook, because a lot of times people put stuff on there I really don't want to know. And they're a bit free with information on Facebook. If you want me to pray for you, if you want me to help you with something, come ask. If you want me to pray for you with something you're struggling with, that's what I'm here for. But I'm not trying to dig it up on Facebook. But you know something? I may not know it. The person beside you may know it. The person you're married to may not know it. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Furthermore, Jesus cares. He knows and he cares. In Matthew chapter 6, I don't know if I put that up here or not. Did I put that up here? Yeah, in Matthew chapter 6 it says, but when you pray, Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, what? Before you ask Him. You don't have to remember every detail. All Bartimaeus did was call out to God for what? For mercy. And then Jesus summoned him, and then Jesus said, what is it that you need? God knows and He cares. And He asked the man, what do you need? Not because he didn't know, obviously, because he wanted Bartimaeus to have the opportunity to demonstrate his faith and his humility by asking. Only those who are willing to acknowledge their need and come to Jesus in faith for healing will be healed. I'm not talking primarily today about the disc in my back that's messed up or the specific ailment that you may be struggling with today. By the way, Jesus can heal you from that. He can. But more importantly, we're born with a sin problem. Jesus is the only one who can heal you from that. And if you are willing to acknowledge your sin, He'll do it. But He can't do it until you're willing to say, I'm spiritually blind. Open my eyes. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my heart. I'm a rebel against God. Forgive me. Only when we recognize that can we be saved. Jesus heard that, he said unto the Pharisees who had asked him a question about him hanging out with the rabble, as they called it. And he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are what? Sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What you have to offer me, Pharisees, is not going to buy my good graces. Grace is a gift given to those who need a what? Who need a Savior. The doctor comes to help those who are sick. You go to the doctor when you're sick. If you're not sick, you don't what? You don't go to the doctor. Or maybe if you don't think you're sick, you don't go to the doctor. Have you ever been in that position? I got this pain and but I don't think I'm sick. I'm not going to the doctor. And later on you found out, maybe I should have went to the doctor a bit sooner. Been there, done that. Problem with the Pharisees and others in Jesus' day is they were sinners in need of a Savior, but they didn't know it. They weren't crying out to God for mercy on the street corner. Blind Bartimaeus was. Jesus responded and asked him, what would that I do to you? His response, that I might see. Remembering the scriptures in Isaiah 28 and Isaiah 35, Bartimaeus asked for his sight, expressing his faith. His faith and his belief that if he would ask, that Jesus would what? That Jesus would give. Not because he deserved it. Not because he had something to offer in return. Just because God is a God of love. And God gave a promise to Israel, despite their wicked ways, that he would one day send the Messiah to set it right. To set them right. To fix them. To redeem them. And so Bartimaeus responded in faith. The Bible says, ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Jesus, seeing his plight, knowing his faith, hearing his request, is a God of compassion and mercy. Earlier in his ministry, he looked upon a multitude that had followed him out of the cities in Galilee. He was trying to get away, to get some rest, to get some peace, and he couldn't get away from the crowds. But he looked at the crowd as they followed him, lost as many of them were, and he saw them as sheep without a what? A shepherd. And he had, the Bible says, he had compassion on them. And he stopped and he taught them. He healed many of them. He is a God of compassion. And he spoke Bartimaeus. The other gospel says he touched him and immediately he was what? Immediately he was made whole. And Jesus said to him here in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When a man or woman, boy or girl comes to Christ in faith to receive his gift of eternal life, they are saved what? Gradually, possibly, immediately. We are born again into God's family. We have become a new creature in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And immediately, things became new. His eyes were opened. He was made whole. And I don't believe it was just his eyes that were fixed that day. I believe Bartimaeus, who put his faith in the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, was made whole in other ways. Spiritual ways. As we are. What was Bartimaeus' reaction? Well, it says here at the end of the verse, and immediately he received his sight, and he did what? What did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. He followed him. Which is the expected reaction of all those who are truly healed by Jesus Christ. And I'm not speaking again primarily of physical healing, but of spiritual healing. When God comes to your life, when God saves your soul, by nature now, a nature that has been changed, we will do what? We will follow Him. We will desire to serve Him, who made us whole, who gave us life, as he did Bartimaeus. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me, and I give unto them eternal, everlasting life. Following Christ, that is laying aside whatever worldly sinful ambitions and allegiances we had before coming to Christ to pursue His will and righteousness in our lives, is the expected response of the genuine child of God. People say to me, I knock on their doors sometimes and say, do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. Do you know Christ as Savior? Oh, yes, I know Christ as Savior. Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. You don't have to go to church. Right? I step back for a second. I say yes and no. And then you look at your puzzle. What does that mean? Well, the answer is this. You don't get saved by setting foot in a church. You can set foot in a church thousands of times and never what? And never be saved and never be healed by Jesus Christ. But if you are saved by grace through faith in Christ, then why aren't you in church? Why aren't you following Christ? Why aren't you serving Christ? That just doesn't make what? Just doesn't make sense. There's a problem. if you're a Christian and you're not in church. It may be that you're not a Christian at all. It may be that there's some sin, bitterness, something that you got stuck in your craw that you got to take care of. Because it is hurting you and your ability to follow and serve your Savior. The natural response to knowing Christ is following Him. Those who say they have faith and are healed yet see no need of following and serving and praising Jesus indicate rather that they were never healed of their sin and really do not know His saving touch. Like the seed that fell on the stony ground, or the seed that fell among thorns. When the thorns came up and choked it, when the sun came up and heated up, the plant died because it had no what? It had no root. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have roots. And you'll follow Him. And that's what Bartimaeus did. Now what can we learn today? What's in it for you? Well, first of all this, just three things. God loves you and hears your cries. He hears your cries for help when others ignore them. He hears your cries for help when others are simply irritated by them. Jesus cares for you as He did for Bartimaeus. You may be crying out for help and others may not see it. You may be crying out for help and others may be irritated. Oh, just leave me alone. But not who? Not Jesus. He cares. And He hears. He does. Even when others do not. Second of all, God wants to heal you. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to earth to die for you. So you could be healed eternally from sin and one day from all of its effects. You know, all the sickness and death and pain and everything that we deal with in those ways, they are all our result of what? They're all the result of sin. And Jesus might heal me from this or heal me from that today or tomorrow, and sometimes He does, and praise God. It is so amazing when He does. I saw a Christian film showed up on my Hulu a couple weeks ago around Christmas. I thought I'd watch it. It's about this little girl. She came down with this neurological disease. Her stomach and bowels and intestines did cease to work. She could eat food. Her body didn't process it. She was dying. The doctors couldn't do anything. She was climbing in a tree with one of her sisters, and the tree was hollowed out. She fell down inside the tree. Some of you maybe have seen the movie. She fell down inside the tree, and they were able to get her out. Took a while. But over the next few days, began to realize that the swelling in her stomach was going down, that she could eat food. And they went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, "I'm looking at this, and I don't know. I'm looking at it, and she looks normal. I don't know how this happened. Maybe she hit her head funny when she went in the tree." I don't think so. Her church had been praying for her. God healed her. And God was magnified. And God still does that today. Praise God. But what you need more than healing from a physical ailment is you need healing from your sin. And Isaiah 53:5-6, "But He," that is Jesus, "was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." God isn't talking about being healed from, whatever ailment you have. He's talking about being healed from sin. "And we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." God will heal you if you will humble yourself in faith and call out to Him for what? For mercy. If you'll acknowledge your need, if you'll believe in Jesus, and you'll call on to Him, He'll save you. Doesn't matter whether you're a king in a palace or a beggar on the street. Does not matter to Him at all. And then thirdly, child of God, you need to keep believing. You need to keep following and you need to keep asking. Keep believing, not just stagnant faith, but growing faith. Exercising your faith every day in obedience to His will. Keep following, spending time daily, drawing closer to your God. Surrendering daily to His will. Leaving behind worldly ambitions and allegiances for the rewards of following Christ. And keep asking, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how the world marks, regardless of how long it takes, keep calling, keep praising, keep believing, and you will know the joy and peace that God desires for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the example of this man this morning. And more importantly, for the compassion and love of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loves us just as He loved Bartimaeus. He loves us and He cares for our souls so much that He died on the cross for our sins to redeem us, so that we could be healed, made whole in the sight of God and have a home in heaven. Lord, you hear the prayers of your children. You want to heal us also. You want to give us peace and grace. You'll bring us through. We'll just trust you. Wait upon. Lord, I pray as we look to this new year that we wouldn't forget you, wouldn't forget your mercy and love that you have shown toward us, wonderful gift we have in your Son, would forget to pursue each day the will of God in our life and in your righteousness. And Lord, that when we do have needs, we would remember your love and compassion that you've already shown, and that we would come to you. Knowing that when nobody else can help, nobody else can do it, Lord, you can help us, and you will. And pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's never trusted in you, that today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.